Good evening and welcome once again. I never cease to marvel. It thrills my soul to see how the Lord leads in the selection of hymns relative to the message. Some time ago in Spanish Wells, I was going to preach the gospel. What will you do in the swelling of Jordan? And they sang that night, "You won't have to cross Jordan alone." It's my exercise to speak to you these days together on living for Jesus in a day of his rejection while we look for his return. That has been my exercise. And we sang about Jesus is coming again, face to face, an excellent selection of hymns. Shall we turn, please, to two scriptures. The first, in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. And reading verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Second scripture, please, in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. And reading verse 1. And I saw a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and himself shall be with them, and be their God. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. So once again, the Lord will bless to us these readings from his precious word. As you know, there are three outstanding varied pictures of the Church of God in the New Testament. The Church of God is seen as a body. Paul says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and all made to drink of the one Spirit. We're members, one of the same body. And the Lord Jesus is the risen head, a body. But we also know that the church is presented to us as a building. A building. Peter says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, ye also as lifeless stones are being built up a spiritual house. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians that we are building together a habitation of God in the Spirit. We are a building. The Lord Jesus is the bedrock. And he is the chief cornerstone, and we are being added into the building, stone upon stone. The stone which the builders rejected became the headstone of the corner. And in early construction, the first stone put in a building was the cornerstone. It's different today. The cornerstone. And all measurements for the building were taken from that cornerstone. And so the thought is this, that you and I should take our measurements from the chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus. He is our example. We sometimes sing, view the vast building, see it rise. The work how great, the plan how wise. O wondrous fabric, power unknown, that rests upon the living stone. A body, a building. But also the church of God is seen as a bride. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. A body, a building, and a bride. In Revelation 21, where we read, we have a picture of the bride, how she will be in a coming day. And in Proverbs 31, we have a picture of the bride, what she should be now, in the absence of the husband. For every one of these transactions done by this woman, were in the absence of her husband. And so this is a very vital challenge to you and me, living for Jesus in a day of his rejection while we wait his coming. In Revelation 21, quickly that picture of the bride of Christ, what she will be in a day to come. We read concerning her descent. John says, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Three times in the Revelation, this New Jerusalem is seen coming down from God, the descent. And the design. Having the glory of God. I never cease to marvel at the presentation of the glory of God. The moment you and I trust the Lord Jesus, we become the recipient of the glory of God. Paul says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Guilty, hell-deserving sinners becoming the recipient of the glory of God. It's redemptive in its effulgence. But also, beloved saints of God, it ought to be progressive. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into His image from glory to glory as by the Lord the Spirit. And it's wonderful to know that there's more glory to come. It's anticipated. Our beloved Savior said in His high priestly prayer in John 17, glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee before the world was. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, you and me. I have given them that they might behold my glory. The descent coming out of God is a bride adorned for her husband under design. This baffles the human mind to know that our great God, whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, is prepared to dwell in a city four square, to make His headquarters there, to dwell with them. And we shall indeed have the glory of God in all its effulgence. Descent, design, destiny. We are going to be with Him and like Him for all eternity. In that city foursquare, the dimensions are given. That is a picture of what the bride of Christ will be in a day not far distant. Here in the book of the Proverbs, in chapter 31, we have a picture of what the bride of Christ should be now in the absence of the husband. He was sitting in the gate, and all these transactions were done in His absence. And our blessed Savior is sitting in the gate, in the place of authority. Men gave Him the lowest place, but God has given Him the highest. When He rose from the dead, God says, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And He's in the place of authority. Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. He's in the place of authority. We read, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Here we have the cost. Her price is far above rubies. There are many costly brides in the Scripture. Eve was a very costly bride. Adam was put into a deep sleep. God took that rib from Adam and He builded a woman member upon member. She was a very costly bride. Rebecca was a very costly bride. And Isaac is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus. Isaac was a spiritual man. Abram says to the young men, abide ye here with the asses, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. He was a spiritual man. He was also a submissive man. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice on one of the mountains. He said, Father, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? God will provide himself a lamb. And Abram, over 100 years old, bound that young man in his 20s. He could have wrestled with his father. But the spiritual man was also a submissive man. And he yielded and was bound and placed on the altar. Oh, what a picture of the Lord Jesus. He was the submissive man. In sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Submissive man. And a sacrificial man. But also, he was a select man. He wanted a special bride. So the nameless servant goes across the desert, seeking a bride for Isaac. She was costly. And finally the challenge, wilt thou go with this man? I will go. The long wait, day by day, looking for a woman they had never seen, but he knew that God is always in control. And Rebecca, that choice bride, came. He welcomed her, he met her in the field, and took her into his mother's tent and was comforted after his mother's death. She was a costly bride. You remember also in the book of Judges, Caleb said, whoso stormeth Kirjath Sefer, him will I give my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, he stormed that city of Kirjath Sefer. He put his life in jeopardy in order to get a special bride. David got a special bride. Saul's daughter Michal, and he had to go out and fight the Philistines. And he came back with the evidence of the destruction of 200 Philistines. He put his life in jeopardy. But friend, the costliest bride of all is the bride of Christ. It cost our God everything to select a bride for his beloved son. The costliest bride of all. He thought it not something to be grasped at, to be in equality with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a bond slave. There are many things we don't know, but we thank God for the things that we do know. And we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, yea, though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. The one who says the cattle on 1,000 hills of mine, the silver and the gold, walked the streets of Israel in the homespun of a carpenter. He wore every precious covering, walked the streets in the homespun of a carpenter. On one occasion, show me a penny. There was a sacrifice in his condescension. There was a sacrifice throughout his life. The foxes had holes. The birds of the air had their nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. What shall we say of the cost at the end of his life at the place called Calvary? No wonder the poet says, the maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made unto the uttermost. He came. His holy fingers formed the bough, where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mine. In secret places he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wound, yet made the hill on which it stood. Spear which spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. Friend, every person ever born into this world will bow the knee to Jesus, either in love, to accept him as a savior, as a redeemer, as a friend, or they will be compelled by compulsion at the great white throne when it's too late. Every knee shall bow in things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Celestial beings, every creature, seraphims, cherubims, Michael, Gabriel, they lovingly bow the knee. Celestial beings. And terrestrial beings, every person on the planet earth, will bow the knee to Jesus, either now or in a day to come. And things under the earth, infernal beings, Satan, the beast, the false prophet, fallen angels, some reserved in chains of darkness, others operating around today, will bow the knee to Jesus, to the glory of God the Father. The bride of Christ was costly. No wonder Peter says, will not redeem a corruptible thing such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. So here is a challenge. Here's a picture of the bride, what she should be now. In a day of his rejection and looking for his coming again, a costly bride. She will do him good, and not evil all the days of her life. Here we have her devotedness, or her devotion, her dedication. Devotedness demands self-denial. Self-denial. Moses is a most remarkable man. He was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, the adopted son of a king. Everything in Egypt was available to him, luxury unparalleled. But when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. What a man. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the backside of the desert, and 40 years wandering with a bunch of rebels. What a man. No wonder God said when he died and buried Mount Pisgah, my servant Moses is dead. God's heart pulsated with joy and yet sorrow that day as he buried Moses. Self-denial. You and I, in the absence of the Lord Jesus, should be marked by self-denial. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to be devoted, to be dedicated in the absence of our Lord Jesus. There's a young man in the Bible called Benaiah. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, look just for a second, please, at that memorable section. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And reading verse 20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Gabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian a spear in his hand. And he went down to him with a staff, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, and he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Benaiah was a man marked by devotion. He slew, in picture, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Moab, as you know, depicts the flesh. And he slew an Egyptian, and Egypt is a picture of the world. And he went into a pit and slew a lion in the time of snow. That lion would have eventually died, but it was making a lot of noise. And Benaiah went down into that pit and slew that lion. You and I are expected to fight the good fight of faith. And we have an enemy. The world, the flesh, and the old lion, the devil. And you and I are no match for the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we have the ability to overcome these things by the power of the sovereign spirit and in love and dedication to the Lord Jesus. We are more than conquerors, says Paul, through him that loved us. What was the secret of Benaiah's devotedness? Devotion, dedication. He came of godless stock. Jehoiada means Jehovah knows. And Benaiah means Jehovah is intelligent. He was well instructed in the things of the Lord. And he sought the best of company, and that's what you and I must do in the absence of the husband. We must be selective in our company. We find in the history of this man, Benaiah, linked himself with a prophet and with a priest and with a potentate, David. And you and I, in the absence of the Lord Jesus, must seek the best company, which is God's people. We are certainly linked with him, who is a prophet, the priest, and the king. She was devoted in the absence of her husband. And the Lord would challenge you and me regarding our conduct in the church and in the world. Have we followed him all the way? If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
dedication, her devotedness.
Verse 13, we see her earnestness. Her devotedness, her earnestness. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. Her earnestness. She seeketh wool. Salvation begins with seeking Him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And that's ever productive when we seek Him. The wise men, they sought Him. Where is Jesus, the King of the Jews? The Greeks, they sought Him out. Sirs, we will see Jesus. Salvation begins with seeking. When we think of wool, that is the product of the land. And flax, the lamb, and linen. Wool is used, as you know, for a garment. And in the absence of the Lord Jesus, we ought to be occupied with Him as the lamb, day in and day out. Dr. Cameron of Detroit, Michigan, came up with 365 titles and names for the Lord in the Scriptures, one for every day of the year. But isn't there something special about the Lamb? Not a day goes by. We as God's people should be thinking of Him, the Lamb. And in the book of the Revelation 21, 7 times, in the last 2 chapters, there are 7 specific references to the Lamb. 28 in all in the 22 chapters of the Revelation. In fact, one is said that the Lamb is the bridal title of the Revelation. Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And throughout the countless ages of eternity, we will pay homage to the Lamb. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. That gives you the energy to press on and to be devoted to Him in the day of His rejection. There's no one more hated out there than Jesus. A friend of mine out in Des Moines, Iowa, was in a restaurant just recently. He saw a man bowing his head in the family in a restaurant. And he went up and he said, it's always a delight to see someone giving God thanks for their food. He exploded. He said, we're thanking Satan for our food. My friend was shocked. And the hatred is intensifying. No one more hated. But thank God there's no one more loved. From every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, we love Him because He first loved us. And the wool, the product of the Lamb, for a covering. Oh, we should thank God in His absence for the covering. We were like the prodigal in the far-off country. He came back home with the old smelly rags from the pig pen. He sold everything that he had, blew everything down in wicked living, and he came to an end of himself. I will return to my father. See, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He's rehearsing this, but his father saw him coming. He was looking for him coming. He ran down the hill, and he smothered his boy with kisses. He said, bring forth the best robe. Get rid of these old rags from the far country. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, the symbol of relationship. And they kill the fatted calf. Give him the best. For this my son was lost and his found, was alive. Dead and is alive again. And they began to be merry. And the Lord has taken off the sinful rags of the far country and given you and I a garment, clothed in garments of salvation. At his table is our place. And there's no greater joy, as I mentioned this morning, to hear the second blast of the trumpet, to be arisen from asleep and to get into marching formation with God's people, waiting the last trump. What a covering. 132nd Psalm says, he has clothed his priests with salvation. What a beneficent, benevolent God is ours. Our devotedness and our earnestness. And then we read, and with this I close, and then we read, she is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. Here is her faithfulness. She bringeth her food from afar. Notice the plural tense, like the merchant ships. She believed in a balanced diet. And the Lord Jesus believed in a balanced diet. And you remember, he gave to his disciples the broiled fish and the honeycomb. He believed in a balanced diet. And when the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness for 40 years, God gave them a balanced diet. It was food from afar. God rained on them manna, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Small, round, white, as coriander seed, and as wafers made with honey. Yes, the manna was small, reminding us of the condescending grace of the Lord Jesus. It was round, reminding us of his eternality. No beginning, no end to that which is round. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, small, round. And as they ate of that food from afar, they saw that it was white, reminding us of the impeccability of the Lord Jesus, the perfect man. He knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him was no sin. And it was as coriander seed, very fragrant. And there's nothing more fragrant than our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. All his garments smell of myrrh, aloes, and cassia. And as wafers made with honey, sweetness. There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak its word that sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And the will of the Lord will continue. Tomorrow evening, look at this section, how we should function in the absence
of the bridegroom, shall we pray. Father, we thank thee again for this goodly number who have come out to listen to thy precious word. We thank thee, Father, for the great future of the church, the bride of Christ. That, Father, help us again to be more faithful, more dedicated as we await his return. For we believe, our Father, his coming is soon. For with such a blessed hope in view, we should more wholly be, more like our glorious risen Lord, whose face we soon shall see. We give thee our thanks, give journeying mercies, we pray, as we retire, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Maybe our brother would have a closing hymn.